Good morning, everyone. Thank you, John. So last week we started with a bit of a focus called Supernatural. And it's not just a preaching series. It's actually, we sense that the Lord is wanting us as a people to go deeper. You know, I think our lives pretty much, it rushes. We wake up in the morning and it's like, I need to exercise, get dressed, get the kids to school, drop them off at school, go to work. And then it's work, and then it's sport, and it's rugby, and it's hockey, and it's a piano, and it's art, and it's gymnastics, and then it's get home, meal, community, and then it's, okay, bed. And then it's copy, paste, repeat. Sometimes it's school, and it's busyness, and then it's sports and stuff, and then it's exams and studies. And I think part of why we very natural is because it's, I think, one of the, if I can call it a norm or a stronghold in our community, we grew up as Christians. When it comes to our faith, it's something that we know and we can do, you know? I can come to church, I can do the prayers, I can read my Bible, and we become very natural in our walk with God, you know? And I think life is so busy that we don't take time really to engage with Him and find Him, because He wants to meet us in a significant way. We've been saved into a new covenant, which is a spiritual covenant, and there's a spiritual walk for each one of us that belongs to Jesus. It's more than just going to church and community. I'm trusting that communities on a Wednesday would be life, because we, and in one sense, there's this word about feasting, appetite. Lizaldi shared the prophetic word, and I felt that word appetite just sums up what God is wanting to do in us. He wants to give us an appetite for walking in the Spirit. The church was born, and the book that speaks about that whole journey is called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. It's the acts of the Holy Spirit through normal people like us. And I think something of that God wants to bring us back to and restore us to that place where we walk and stories will be told of us about the acts of the Holy Spirit through us. You that got that dead-end job, or maybe sitting in a classroom needing to lecture and teach, or maybe the student in the classroom, or the mom that's just trying to cope, the acts of the Holy Spirit through us. He wants to awaken us and give us an appetite that we would really experience the supernatural life that He's purposed for us. And we just felt to explore this aspect of prayer. Last week we spoke about the pillar of prayer, that really that's one of the pillars of the church. And then as a people, we need to embrace it, because God is actually, He's calling us to a deeper relationship with Him. That's actually all it is. And this morning I want to unpack a life of prayer where we don't just look at just this aspect for the church, but for each of us individually. Now, here's the thing. You can get a lot of books on prayer. You know, a lot of guys, when they do leadership teachings, they've got this little joke where they say, you don't find any books in the bookshop about servant leadership or not about following. You know, there's no books. All the guys just write about leadership, but there's no books about following. I want to tell you this. There are plenty of books about prayer. Plenty. We've got Google and ChatGPT and all these things, and we can just say, teach me about prayer. Or give me some good nuggets about prayer, or give me some good points about prayer. It's easy and you can get ample. How to avoid obstacles, what to do. It's easy to get information about it. But I believe God doesn't want to just give us information. He's actually wanting to get our attention about something that He wants to grow within us. And so this morning, as I share things, I don't want to just try and give you information, because you can get that. It's very accessible. I'm trying to hear, God, what is it that You are saying and wanting to do in us? And I trust that You will go with me on this journey as we position ourselves and say, God, come do it in me. Come shift something in me. Come and revive my prayer life. Because I want to tell you now, I thought I was okay. But over the last 3-4 weeks, God has been doing something in my life with regards to this. And it's incredible how my appetite and my hunger and my desire for God has grown just as I've been exploring this. And it won't just grow because you want it to grow. You've got to apply yourself. And then God comes and He gives you that hunger, that appetite, that desire. There's a village in Africa, and they were converts, a little village, and they found Jesus. And one of the things they did is they realized a prayer life is just basically how we communicate with God in our relationship with Him. And so they had a deep desire to pray. And in the village, there wasn't a lot of space. So what they did is, on the outskirts of the village, they each found a little solitude place in the bundus where they could pray. So they're each at their own spot. So what would happen is they would go to their spot, and so a walkway would form towards their spot. And because they were really in love with Jesus and cared deeply for one another, they had real concern for one another's spiritual walk, pun intended. And so what they would do is they would examine one another's. They would just keep an eye on one another's pathway. Because the moment the pathway started to get overgrown with weeds and grass, they would know, oh, Hona, this one is not praying. But if the pathway is clear and open, they would know this brother or this sister, they're praying. I want to ask you the question, how's your prayer path? Has it been overgrown with weeds and grass? Has it seen the sole of your feet lately? Or is it open and solid? And are you experiencing life in your prayer life? Or has it just become a duty? If it has become a duty, God wants to come and make it alive. Because He's a living God. We've got relationship with a living God. He wants to come and speak to you and encounter you in a deep and profound way. There's a quote that says, 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. Yo! Someone said it somewhere, I don't know. 7 days without prayer makes 1 week. True though, eh? Yeah. Huh? We need to apply ourselves daily, continually. Scripture actually says, rejoice always, pray continually. Another translation says, pray without ceasing. The Greek there actually just means not to stop. Not to stop praying. It doesn't mean that we've got to, like, in everything that we do, just pray and we can't speak to people or can't work. That's not what it's saying. But it's saying you should have an attitude where you want to engage with your Maker, your Father, on a regular basis. It's calling, have regular. We spoke last week that I can't have a relationship with Lizalde and just look at her the whole time and say it's on the inside. I'm praying, I'm speaking to my wife on the inside. That's not a relationship. There's got to be words. There's got to be expression. So we need to be able to communicate. So we sat with our boys in the week. Because here's the thing. God is speaking this to us as a congregation. Remember, I'm telling you, this is not just what's the next topic we're going to do. I am convinced this is something God is wanting to put His finger on in our congregation. So I sat with the boys because they're part of the church. And I want to encourage parents, take your kids on this journey. Teach them how to pray. Involve them in this journey. So we sat with them and we discussed this scripture. Wees altijd blij was the first one. Bid sonder ophou. Pray continually. En wees dankbaar in alle omstandighede. Give thanks in all circumstances. So I thought that's a wonderful place to start with them. It's simple. They can work through it. They can process it. So we chatted it through. And what does it look like? You know? What does it look like to pray? Because I realize for them, they can grow up in a Christian home, but if they're not praying, they're not having a relationship. And actually, that's not great. They need to have a relationship with them. And so we need to steward that and not just put a form on them, but we need to get them to engage with their Maker. And so we spoke about that and what it is an entail. And so my oldest, he had a situation in class where the teacher asked them to clean the class, all the boys. So all the boys, when the bell rings, please stay behind and clean the class. All the boys ran out apart from him and another boy. And so they cleaned the class. And when Lizalde found him, she found the look of that injustice on his face. She said she could see this man is boiling. Because how could people do that, you know? So now it's taking longer, it's stealing time. So there was this deep injustice, and he just wanted to go and speak to the sir about this. And Lizalde said, no, just leave it. Just leave it. You know? Let's leave it. Let's give it to the Lord. So we discussed this. And then he told her that he's sitting next to a boy which is causing havoc. He shouts and he screams and he's loud and he's disobedient and it just makes life very uncomfortable and unpleasant. But the sir just moved them around, so he doesn't want to go to the sir and ask to be moved again because they've just been moved the day before or a couple of days before. But it's not a great situation. So Lizalde says, well, let's pray. Let's ask the Lord. We've been speaking about prayer continually. Let's ask the Lord to come and intervene. They pray. He comes the next day. She picks him up with a big smile. 10 minutes before the close of the day, before the bell rang, this teacher just randomly said, I want to move you all. Let's move you all right now. So he moved the whole class, and he's sitting next to the two boys that he sees as friends in his classroom. One in front, one beside. Didn't say a word. He just brought it to the Lord. God hears our prayers. And take your children on this journey. Go on this journey where we engage with the Lord and we ask Him. We petition Him. We pray to Him. We give Him thanks. He said to her, he just walked the whole way back saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just like... But that's prayer as well. It's thanksgiving. Romans 12 verse 12, it says, pray constantly. Be faithful in prayer. We read about Jesus, Luke 6 verse 12, that He prayed throughout the night. God wants us to pray continually. It's basically saying, have a lifestyle, an attitude of prayer. A life of prayer. How's your prayer path? Will you go on this journey with me as we try and make sure that path gets walked on, treaded on a continual basis? Just quickly want to touch on a few things. Praying in Jesus' name. Bible says that we ask anything in His name, He will do that for us. I think people have misunderstood the scripture because they feel like if they can say those lines after their prayer, it gives extra power to the prayer. You know, it's like, God, will You come through? Will You heal this person in Jesus' name? And it's almost like that's the key, you know? It's like if you give Jesus' name, then it's like, whoa, now it's like just speaking to the Lord, now it's a prayer. But that's not what the scripture says. Whether you say those words afterwards or not. But actually what it means, it's when you go in someone's name, you got their authority. So you go under their authority. So if you pray, Jesus said, if you pray, when the disciples healed the beggar, He said, we don't have anything to give to you, but in the name of Jesus, in His authority, He's the one that sent us out. He's the one that instructed us. In His authority, would you stand up and walk? So it's praying under His authority, knowing that He's called us, He's instructed us. And then when you refer to someone's name, it normally refers to their nature, their person, their will, their character. So it's praying on the basis of who He is and His will. Scripture says every prayer prayed in the will of God will be answered. So if you know what the will of God is in a situation, you can pray in the name of Jesus because He's the one that authorized you and spoke to you. So you know on His authority, on His will, I can stand in this regard. And it says if you ask anything in My name, I will give it. So we can have a confidence if we petition the Lord and it's for peace in your anxiety. That's why it says when you are anxious, which is a real struggle for many. And in one sense, it's somewhat of a pandemic around the world. Because it says that if we bring our anxiety before Him and in prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, we make our request known, the peace of God comes in our hearts and minds. Isn't that where we feel anxiety start rising up? And then it comes to our mind and then we can't think and then it affects us? But it said if we, on His authority, on His will, with thanksgiving, present our request to Him, He comes and He gives peace in your situation. So if you are facing anxiety, you can pray in the name of Jesus for His peace to come. He is the Prince of Peace. We like it tighty. Yeah. Matthew 6, Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, and He teaches His people about prayer. And He says, and I just want to highlight a few things. And in no sense it's going to be an unpacking of the scripture, but just I felt the Lord lay a few things in my heart and I want to unpack the scripture. But before I do that, I'm not sure how many of you are aware of this, but apparently there's a cultural meal in South Africa that's called the Sunday Seven Color Lunch. Have you heard about that? On Sunday lunch, it needs to have seven colors. If you're not aware of that, your lunch on a Sunday needs to have seven colors. We get stuck at two or three, but apparently it needs seven. And so that's the ideal Sunday lunch, seven colors. A bit of everything. Our prayer life should look at that, like that. There should be a bit of everything. Private prayer, public prayer, praying as we go, because sometimes you just don't have a lengthy time to seek His face. But if your prayer life is just on the go, oh, Lord, bless me, help me, you're just having potatoes. We should have different colors. We should have veggies. And sometimes you need times where you're just in God's presence for a lengthy period. Whether you can't afford it or you're too busy or it's just life, you need those times. Because it's normally in those times where you meet the Lord and He encounters you and He helps you in your situation. So our prayer life needs to be a bit of everything. It can't just be one. So I know moms with babies, it's like, it's a mission to find, because just as I close the door to think I'm going to pray, a baby cries. And sometimes it's difficult. But husbands, you can help your wife to find those times. Yeah. But we need that. We need everything. Thanksgiving. Make our request known to Him. A bird of everything. And I want to show you as Jesus teaches them, how you can see a little bit of all those things. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. And so Jesus is saying, yeah, you need to have private prayer life. It can't just be when you come to church, then you suddenly pray the first time in the week. You got to personally have a prayer life where you speak to the Lord. You have to. And when you don't stress about having fancy words when you pray alone or get to, because He's just looking for sincerity. Sincerity. Sometimes you can tell the Lord, this is really difficult. Oh, I'm really upset about the situation. I'm struggling to just read my Bible. Be honest with the Lord so that He come and meet you in that space. Then He goes, do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Then this is how you should pray. And just a couple of things. I know we know this by heart. Our Father in heaven. It's interesting that the whole prayer is not in the singular. The whole prayer is in the plural. So Jesus is teaching us, and there's something about our prayer life that has to coincide with others. We can't just have a private prayer life. You can't just have a prayer life. You need to be part of a church, a community, where you pray together. If your prayer life doesn't have those moments, if you're not here on a Sunday morning at 9 when we pray, if you're not here at the combined community when we pray, your plate only has one color. You're not exploring everything that He has for you. So you've got to have, the Bible speaks about corporate prayer. Our Father in heaven. It's interesting that Jesus presents this prayer to them. And He kicks off with relationship. That's where He kicks off. You've got to think, the Jews were only allowed to say Yahweh and they weren't able to say the vows. Speaking to God, you had to address Him as holy. But here Jesus comes and presents relationship first. That's what He came to do. He brought Jesus so that relationship could be restored. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then there's that sense, I'm in a relationship with God, but He is holy. He's magnificent. He is great. And from that place of understanding we've got relationship with Him, we need to offer prayers of worship and praise and thanksgiving. Your plate needs to have prayers of worship and thanksgiving. If your prayer life is just ask, 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 there's something amiss. There's got to be prayers of thanksgiving and worship. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. There's times where we need to come and consecrate ourselves and say, Lord, I want to align myself with your will. Yeah. Prayers of consecration. Jesus prayed, not my will be done, but your will be done. Prayers of consecration, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive as we also have forgiven our debtors. I find it very helpful at times when I don't know what to pray, to get the Bible and just pray through prayers in scriptures. Trevor sent me a portion of the prayer of Jabez. I'll send a link. John Piper has this link of all the prayers in the New Testament. what they prayed in the New Testament. And sometimes just going through that, going through the Psalms and praying. He's given us daily bread, which is His Word. So if we feast on that, pray that. Pray that in your life, into your life. Pray that for your children. But pray through the prayers and the Scriptures and the Bible. It needs to be part of the plate. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Prayer is a weapon. Our plate needs to have prayers where Jesus says, pray lest you fall into temptation. In Ephesians 6, it speaks about the armor of God, and it says that we need to pray in the Spirit. We need to wage war by the prayers that we pray. So your prayer life also needs to be where you need to wage war. Anxiety, there's answers. You can wage war. Worry, you can wage war. Lust, you can wage war. For if we forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. An interesting thing here, there's a big emphasis on forgiveness. And what I realized is when Jesus presented the prayer, he presented the very essence of the gospel. So if we've forgiven much, now we need to forgive others. Thank Him for what He's done in your life. Thank Him for what He's done. We are alive because of Him. We've been set free and forgiven because of Him. So extend that to others. So you've got to have private prayer life. We see that in Jesus' life. He instructed them. And then here's a good plate. Here's a good seven-color meal. Private prayer, corporate prayer, prayer of thanksgiving, prayer of worship, prayer of request, prayer of consecration, praying through the Scriptures. Prayer of intercession. We spoke last week about intercession, and I just want to repeat it again. There is no ministry or gift of intercession. The whole church, every single believer, are called to intercede. I spoke last week about it's when somebody breaks through, when someone is naturally generous or they had a revelation of God and they're generous, it doesn't make them a generoser or a gift of generosity like you'll get an intercessor. They just saw something. And they're living it out. People that look like they're intercessors and they're gift, they've snapped something. They saw something about the importance of prayer. But there's no gift. There's no ministry in Scripture. The church has been called to intercede, to pray for others. Intercession means to pray for others. All of us are called to pray for others. Make sure that's part of your plate. Prayer of faith, battle prayers or prayers where it's a weapon. And then I want to just, as I come to somewhat of a close, unpack some of the last few. There's praying in the Spirit and fasting and then seeking His face and waiting on God. And I really felt, as I spoke earlier on, that, you know, you can easily get all this information online or in a concordance, go to prayer and you find everything. But I've tried to say, Lord, what is the thing that You want to do, come and shift in us as a people? And He told me, I want My people to learn how to wait on Me. How to wait on Me. How to wait on Me. See, the whole world, the other day I was thinking about just how everything is instant. You know? Everything is instant. It's quick. It's like, you know, if this is broken, it needs to be fixed. And it's like, yo, everything. And then I saw this big banner on the N1. Huge, like this advertisement board. It said, lose weight. But not like weight, like weight, wach, W-A-I-T, lose weight. And I saw this big thing and I realized that the society wants everything to be instant, quick. No waiting. But God wants us to fight the weight loss program. Weight loss meaning the W-A-I-T. He wants us to fight against that thing because He wants the people that will wait on Him. What does it mean to wait on Him? It doesn't mean to take a nap and just come like. I remember when we did the 6 o'clock in the morning prayer meetings at the Bible school. So sometimes you'll pray there and you'll just fall asleep. And then you wake up and like, I was just waiting on the Lord. and that's not it. That's not it. It's not a passive waiting. It's not a passive waiting. The Hebrew word for wait is kava. Kava. It means to bind. So, you know that scripture in Isaiah 40 verse 31, it says, those who hope or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. It says those who hope or wait on the Lord will renew their strength. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Yes, wait for the Lord. I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits. And in His word I put my hope. So when it speaks about that wait, it uses this word, kavah. So it's always interesting when you look at the Hebrew words, what was the original intent and meaning when they wrote those words? It's to look where it was used elsewhere, and especially where it was used first. It was used first in this context. Gives you understanding of what does that word mean. And God said, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place, and let the ground appear. So you had creation. God is creating the waters and the dry land, and He says, let the water under the sky be gathered to one place. That word gathered is kavah. It's kavah. And what it's actually speaking about here is that concept of waiting is actually coming together, waiting for something to happen, waiting with the expectation that God is going to give purpose. Okay? So here the word kavah means to come together, to bring together. And it goes on, and it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. When that second gathered, they didn't use the word kavah. It means like gathering, like put together. But when He spoke, and the waters listened, they reacted, and it was that waiting is to be gathered with the expectation of purpose and instruction is coming. So when it says that we need to wait on Him, it actually says we need to gather ourselves or be gathered and wait for His purpose, His instruction, and then we act on that. So waiting is not passive at all. And here we see later on in verse 20, He spoke to the waters, the gathered waters, the waiting waters, and let the water teem with living creatures and let the birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky. And there He gave purpose and instruction as they were waiting. I want God, I believe God is wanting to create in us a culture where we wait on Him, where we wait for His instruction. And how do we wait? We wait on Him by seeking His face. Seeking His face is to put our attention, our mind's attention on Him and our heart's affections on Him. It's a time where we say, I'm going to get out of the hustle and the bustle, and I'm going to position myself to seek Him, to engage with Him, to get my mind's attention on Him, my heart's affection on Him. And then we wait by praying. Sometimes, God, I need You to come through. I need healing. I want us to have a moment now, in a few moments, where we're going to wait on the Lord and say, God, would You come? I need healing. I need deliverance. I need Your instruction. Early on, there was a prophetic word about God wanting to open up our eyes. We can ask the Lord that because He spoke in His name, and then wait on Him to come and open our eyes. The Zaldi spoke last week about appetite. If you don't have an appetite for God, you can ask Him today and wait on Him. Maybe your heart's grown cold and your walk with God has really taken a dip. Your prayer path is overgrown. You can say, God, come change me. Forgive me and come and change me. And wait on Him to come and do that. They did some studies about the human attention span. In 2000, the average attention span was 12 seconds from a human, where they're fully focused and they can gather all the information given to them. All right? That's like you can gather all that information. 15 years later, it's 8.25 seconds. A goldfish attention span is 9 seconds. So our attention span, because of media and the various things, have become weaker than a goldfish. So now that I have all of your attention, what do you need to know? We need to pray. And we need to wait on Him. Amen? You got that. We need to pray. Humans are forgetful. We forget. Why do we need to pray? These are all studies. 25% of teens forget major details of close friends and relatives. 7% of people forget their own birthday from time to time. I know people in this room that has done that. John is part of the 7%. And the the anniversary. Yeah, okay. Both of them forgot the anniversary. That's better if that happens, you know? Because then it's much better. It's like, oh, you forgot as well. Whew. 39% of Americans have forgotten one basic piece of information or lost one every day in the past week. You just forget information. That's why I need to pray, because we just forget about it. But when we pray and we engage Him, we remind ourselves of who He is. When we pray prayers of thanksgiving, we remind ourselves of who He is. The Lord is good to those who wait on Him, to the soul who seeks Him. There's alligators in America on the wetlands where there's a lot of water. In the dry seasons, it's not their intent, it just happens. They walk back and forth, and with their big bodies and their claws and stuff, they call it alligator holes. They make, or gator holes. They make these deep, it's like a groef, like a sluit, like a trench, massive deep trench, and then water fills in there. But as the wet season disappears and the dry season come, the wetlands or the dam dries up, but these still have water in. And what happens is the animals then come and get water and they live around that. And the gators actually have easy prey to catch in the dry seasons. If we pray and we continue on that walk prayer of that prayer path, we actually create something of a trench. Something of a trench. And if it's there, God can come and fill it. Have you ever put wood in a fire and a fire that's just dwindling out? If you just put blitz in there, there's big flames, but it dies down if there's no wood. If we pray continually, we dig that trench, it starts adding wood to that fire. And eventually there's flames and it looks like things are going to down, but because there's wood, that flame can lit again. Some of us are struggling in our walk with God because we have no trench. There's nothing God can fill. If we wait on Him, if we wait on Him continually, we create a vessel that He can fill. And I want to tell you, God wants to fill you. God wants to fill you. The whole thing about prayer is relationship. And some of you are visiting here this morning, and some of you are new in this congregation, and you might not have a relationship with Jesus, but He wants to come and bring you back into a living relationship with Him. There was a guy called Paul in the Bible. He persecuted the church. He basically tried to kill every Christian he came across. And then one day, he met Jesus. He met Jesus. He saw Jesus. And he surrendered his life to Jesus. And he started having a relationship with the Father. That same guy started to serve the church, started to preach, started to love people, started to live a whole different way. Because of that encounter with Jesus. Because he was restored back to a relationship with the Father. I want to tell you now, the biggest decision you can make in your life is to say yes to Jesus and be restored in relationship with the Father. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He's the way to the Father. We've been created to have relationship with God. That's His intent. That we walk with Him, that we would live with Him. But because of sin, we were separated. And there's no connection, there's no relationship. And just like Paul, were persecuting the church, thinking he was doing a good thing, he had no relationship with God. And then one day when he saw Jesus, he realized he had to let go of his sin, he had to let go of his old life, repent of it, and accept Jesus as his Lord and Savior, and be restored to relationship with Him. That same guy that persecuted the church said this, I count all those wonderful things I had as rubbish for the wonderful privilege to know Him. He from persecuting the church, wanting nothing to do with Jesus, he said, there's nothing better than knowing Him. In this room, there are hundreds of people that can testify of that. And if that's not your testimony, I want to give you the opportunity today to accept Jesus as your Savior, to come back into a relationship with God. I spoke about prayer for our congregation, but that's an invitation to all to have a relationship with Him.